Well, if you're on social media, particularly Facebook, if you were to this afternoon do this, I think you would see it play out very easily. And that is, if you were just to start going through, scrolling through your feed, you could almost ask the question, okay, who hates who today and because of what? It's almost like as you go through, you know, who hates who and how they can justify that anger and hatred. And how tragic that it just seems like our world is, and particularly our nation, is filled with just so much hate. But then, by nature, hate is in our hearts. And it's just having the humility to admit it, known it, confess it. We all struggle with it getting inside of us. There's a great passage, it's in Proverbs 15:17, and it says, "Better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fatted calf with hate." And if you think about that, let it settle in, I think we'd all agree. We would probably much rather settle for a lot less in life where we were in a home where there's peace and unity and harmony and love than have all the stuff and just live in just bitterness and tension. I think you can feel it. As I read the passage today from Romans 12, you read it over and over, and it says that's what the Apostle Paul is saying in a sense. He says, here's what love looks like. And then it's almost like rapid bullet points he goes through. It looks like this and this and this and this. But here's the thing. That really can't happen unless you hate. And that's an interesting way of putting it. You can't love unless you hate. And without hate. Because there is one justifiable hate, and that is to hate what is evil. In other words, you look at the list. And if you go through it and you see all these things, but if you did the flip side or the opposite, you say, that would be evil. And maybe we have experienced the opposite of some of those things on the list. Or maybe even know through personal experience the effects because maybe we've been a part of it. Maybe we have done just the opposite of those things to others. But what Paul is saying here is have nothing to do with them. Those evil things. Nothing to do, desire nothing to do with them. Don't let them get close to you. Because it's only then that love can truly show itself and then be released with full force. You can start seeing the effects and the results. It's a call to express humble and peaceful attitude towards others. And it doesn't matter who. It doesn't say, well, these are the people that you'd show this to. It's a call to put love in action. Now, the problem is, love can be kind of a vague thing. Because in our culture, love is something we fall into or we fall out of. And we primarily see it as a feeling. I think that's the way we associate, you know, that idea of love. But biblical love is not so much an emotion. It's an attitude. It's a mindset. It's an action. It's a choice we make. It's a matter of the will. So it's how am I going to choose to respond? How am I going to treat? So Paul gives some behaviors that manifest a sincere or a real or an authentic love. Because love is the most important way of expressing what Christianity is all about. Our relationship with God is primary. What's going on in the vertical? And then our relationship with others kind of flows out of what's going on between us and God. What is clear is that we as believers are to cultivate an attitude of love that puts the focus on the good of other people and not have the focus on what we expect or how we expect to be treated by others. Love has different dimensions. As I've already said, biblical or Christian love is more than just a feeling. It leads to a hatred of evil and a tenacious attachment to what is good. Paul begins by saying, this is what it is to look like. So how do we act? How do we react towards others? Well, we look to Christ. We learn from, we draw from Christ. And the things Paul urges in this passage are decidedly Christian virtues. They come as a result of the favor of God that is shown to us, displayed to us in Christ. Kind of is, that's what's taught in verse 1 of this chapter. We were looking at that last week. It says, in view of God's mercy, or in light of what he has done, when you look at what God has done in his mercy and grace, on the basis of that, he says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. He said, that is your expression of worship. So we see the sacrificial life that Christ lived for us, and on the basis of all of that, we say, all right, I'm going to willingly allow myself to be put on the altar, and I'm going to, in obedience, I'm going to listen. I desire God's best for me. And that's how we see this expression of love come out. It's what Jesus taught through the way he lived. And so we are called to identify with others in their joys and in their sorrows. That's what we call empathy. We meet hatred with love. And it seeks to live in harmony with one another. But probably the greatest obstacle to doing that is pride. When we compare ourselves to others in a better than type of way, or when we express a sense of entitlement to be treated a certain way, and this is how I deserve to be treated, and that becomes the focus, we can't let the other thing happen. Paul brings us another way love can be expressed. It's overcoming evil with good by refusing to retaliate. He says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. The problem is our reflex is to get back or to get even, you know, the tit for the tat. But here's the thing, we don't have to. It just seems to be the reflex. But we don't have to. See, this is Jesus' teaching on the matter. The kingdom ethic of non-retaliation. And for Jesus, it goes further than just not giving it back or retaliating, but doing good and right in the eyes of everyone. Christians are to do what they can to do good. See, God is the one who avenges. God is the one who judges. We are not to be the ones who seek revenge. We let him handle it. But again, it's just like something happens to us and immediately we have to go after it. But what's reality? There are going to be those times in our life experience when other people's words or actions are going to hurt us. But through the words of Paul, God wants us to know that it is important that we neither initiate nor respond in kind, keeping before us the example of Christ. But it's what we so want to do. It's almost sometimes we feel like we have to. But if you take all of this, you kind of boil it down or condense it down to this one phrase or this one thought. I think where God wants us to be. And that is to choose to be free. Choose to be free. You think about this. See, what happens to us and to our enemies when we try to get even with those who have hurt us? What happens? It just means that we are going to carry the hurt around us and with us. And we're going to keep nursing it until it becomes bitterness and resentment. And then the hatred develops. All it means is that we're just going to hold on to it. I think it was Martin Luther King Jr. who said, "Hate hurts the hater." Hurt hates the hater. And then what happens is we start doing and becoming the very thing that we don't like, the very thing we don't want, we find ourselves doing. But here's the thing. Consciously and formally turning the matter over to God releases us, sets us free from feelings of hurt and the danger of a bitter spirit. If we release it to God, we don't have to burden that. And in this spirit, we ask God to deal with those who have hurt us according to his will for us. We don't excuse it. We don't say, yeah, no big deal. Because maybe there was a hurt. But it's something we don't have to harbor or hold on to and become a prisoner of. We let God handle it. We give it to him. And it's what God did and what God does. And the whole motive for doing this is the way, in this way, is the fact that this is the way God has worked in our lives. His son overcame the evil consequences of sin through his sacrificial death on the cross. His Holy Spirit can renew our minds and lead us to new attitudes and new actions. See, when we act lovingly towards those who hurt us, we do so because God acts lovingly toward us all the time in Christ. Christ's love works in us and can work that in us. Here's a prayer request you can jot down for yourself today. If you have a prayer journal or just in your mind, write it down, put it down. Here's your prayer request today. God, help me to hate. I think it's kind of funny, too, if you think about it. If you just wrote that in your prayer journal or was sitting there and someone were to read that, what? What are you praying for? God, help me to hate? Yeah. God, help me to hate. Help me to hate that which is evil. Those things that keep me a prisoner, or those things that build walls, those things that separate, those things that bring disunity, those things that just hurt. God, help me to hate that. So that you could be released and be free to love. Yeah, God, help me to hate so I can be free. Free to be able to share what you have shared with me so I can be free to love. That's true freedom. And what a gift that is to receive for ourselves, but also to be shared with the world around us. It's love in action, and it comes from Christ. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts in your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.